Good morning.
Good morning.
Y'all don't give a Cajun boy a whole lot of time to talk, do you? I can't introduce myself sometimes in 20 minutes, so. But I'll get done today, okay? I got a lot on my heart. It's great to be here, and it's an awesome privilege to be in this church, and that you would trust me to come up here. I appreciate that. And this is the church of some of my heroes, Jim and Lori, are heroes of mine, Aaron Price and John Hager, and so many of the people that we got to meet when you guys came to Gospel Lakes and we did an evangelism blitz out of Conroe, Texas. Was an awesome experience. And as I come this morning, I just kind of want to share with you, if you will, a burden that's on my heart, okay? And we're going to be in Matthew 13 this morning if you want to open your Bibles, but I have a burden that's on my heart about evangelism, about the church. It's nothing new. I'd appreciate it, the time this morning, to just kind of share that with you as we go through a few things in Matthew 13. Appreciate your prayer support for our family that has gone on and has really encouraged us in the ministry. And I hope today, this morning, that I can encourage you as we talk about this burden. Let us pray first. Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we thank you for this opportunity to be here with the body of Christ. Lord, we would pray as that you would speak this morning, Lord, and that as we talk about these things, that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to discern, Lord, and feet to move. And we pray this in your precious Son's name. Amen. As Jesus began his ministry, he was always preaching and teaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand," the kingdom of heaven. And if you follow his ministry, his primary focus was pretty much always on that, the kingdom of God. And so much so that when he comes to the end and had just a few hours left, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts that he tells us that Jesus spoke to his disciples of the kingdom of God. And there was an idea that he was trying to present, that he was presenting, and a shift in thinking that he was putting forth as to what the kingdom of God was supposed to be. And we know that it wasn't a political reign that he was talking about for Israel, but the rule and reign in the hearts of men, God's rule and reign in the hearts of men. And so Jesus preached the kingdom of God. And in Matthew 13, we see a series of parables about the kingdom of God. And I'm not going to go over each parable, but we'll just kind of review some. We come to the parable of the sower. The sower just tells us that not everyone is going to respond to the kingdom of God the same. Some will respond, some will be turned off by it, but some will respond, and those who do will bring forth a great, unimaginable harvest. And then he tells of the parable of the wheat and the tares, or the wheat and the weeds. And in this particular parable, he says, it's not always going to be easy to tell who's in the kingdom and who's out of the kingdom. But you sow, and it's hard to tell. Thank you. But there's going to come a time at the harvest, and then it's going to be easy to tell. Then there's going to be a separation. And when you read that, it should it should, your heart should go out for lost people. I mean, this separation that he talks about here is an example of things to come that should make any Christian hurt for the lost. And it should make any lost person think about his or her destiny. And then we come to the mustard seed. And the seed and the yeast, or the parable of the yeast. And I think the simple point that he's making here, it's the nature of the kingdom of God to grow. It's the nature of the kingdom of God to grow. Then we read on, excuse me, and we see the hidden treasure and a costly pearl. And he talks about a field. And he talks about a pearl of great value. And how that person sells everything to purchase it. And I think he's talking here that no matter what it costs you to be part of the kingdom of heaven, it's worth it. Amen? Then we talk about the dragnet. And again, he talks about all kinds of fish that are gathered in. And again, this terrible separation that is hard sometimes to even think about or read about. And it's in the middle of this flow of kingdom talk, this whole flow, that he makes one simple statement. And it's in verse 31. He presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all other seeds, but when it's full grown, it's larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." Now, I got to tell you something. Understanding this parable right here is not rocket science. It's the implications of this parable that are tough. It's the nature of the kingdom of God to grow. It's very simple. And so it's not understanding it where the rub comes in, but it's the implications of it. And that is that if there is no real significant growth, then something is wrong. Very simple to me. If there is no real significant growth, then something is wrong. Now let's back up. Jesus said it's like this tiny, minuscule little seed. And when planted, it grows into this large tree. Now I'm just, I think in simple terms, I grew up in the country in Louisiana, and I don't have a whole lot of rocket science with me. So I'm thinking about this seed and thinking about the language in which it's written, and look, and don't go there, but it's the same message and language that he speaks in Matthew 16 when he's talking about that he will build his church. And he says, "And I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not overcome it, shall not stop it, and shall not overpower it." And he's using language of assault, and he's saying that his church will grow. And it's an assault. And the evil one can do all he wants to, but he can't stop it. And the gates of hell will not stop the advance of the church of God. Now, as he's talking about the seed, and I don't know if you've ever sown Bermuda grass, but it's a tiny, teeny, little bitty seed, you know, and I used to read this parable and think about mustard greens. But this plant, when planted out of this tiny little seed, this mustard plant grows to be 12 foot tall or so. And the kingdom is like that. And he was talking in anticipation of what would happen. In anticipate what would happen. And it did happen. Exactly that happened. If we look back, we see that it began with one, and then the course of 3 years went from one to 12, and then to 120. And when Jesus died, that's about all it was. That's about what it was, kind of like a tiny little plant just barely coming up out of the soil. And then we see the ascension, and we see the Spirit and Pentecost, and just like that, 120 to 3,000. That's mustard seed growth. Then the Lord says that the Lord added, then the number of disciples multiplied. And it changes from addition to multiplication. And it grew just like that mustard seed. So that when we come to the end of the book of Acts, there's a telling phrase. It says that Paul was unhindered. The gospel was unhindered. The church was unhindered. And that's exciting to me. And you think about what happened then, north, south, east, and west. And you compare it to the Roman army at that time, which was massive, that just had taken over and spread throughout the Mediterranean world in North Africa. And within one generation, the kingdom of God had grown to be greater and more expansive than the whole Roman army. That's growth. And it's continued all the way to this present day. His church overseas. Just incredible. Incredible growth. Around the world today is growing at a phenomenal rate. In Korea, we have some missionary friends from Korea. They think that pretty much the Christians outnumber the Buddhists now. They're for what this is worth, but 13 megachurches with over 10,000 people. There is one church in Korea that has 750,000 members. And in China, according to the International Mission Board of Southern Baptists, and I have a lot of Southern Baptist friends, and they do a real good job of keeping track of what's going on the ground. An excellent job. And according to them, there's 1 million people a year turning to Christ in communist China. Now that's a pretty incredible deal. And being baptized. Praise the Lord. In Africa, got some friends in Africa. 1990, 8.7 million believers. And in 10 years, by 2000, there's 360 million believers in Africa. Now that's mustard seed growth, isn't it? In southern India, one state where William Carey went as a Baptist missionary. For 200 years, the church added about one church per year. And the International Mission Board went in, got busy, changed a few things about a house church philosophy, church planning, and went from 200 to 2,000 churches in 10 years. They went from 4,860 members to 127,000 members. And that's mustard seed growth. And that's exciting. I don't know about you, but that excites me to hear that about how God is moving in the world today. In northern India, the Bhojpuri people, in the 1990s, they might have had a handful of churches in that whole area of every kind. That's every flavor you can think of. Anglican, Episcopal, you name it. Just a handful. And this guy, has anybody ever heard of David Watson? David Watson went into this area and he said, my job as a missionary, I'm going to go into each area and in each town, I'm going to find a person of peace. That's what I'm going to call them. They'll be influential people. I'm going to ask the Lord, I'm going to witness to them, lead them to Christ. And then he told them, now that you're in Christ, you need to share with 10 more people. That's your job. You share with 10 more people to get enough people to plant a church. And 40 churches went to 2,900 churches in 8 years. Incredible growth. They baptized over 200,000 people. And in Cuba, there's been evangelical work in Cuba for over 100 years. In 1960, Castro comes to power as communist rule. This is an incredible story about Cuba. And then the church was heavily persecuted from 1960 to 1990. And in 1990, Castro says, we've made a mistake persecuting the church. We shouldn't have done that. What happens when you persecute the church? So he says, we shouldn't have done that. We need to stop it. And they shifted from communist to a secular state and actually had a minister of missions. And he met with the church leaders, and he said, it's legal to have church now. And he said, you just can't build any more churches. You can't build any buildings. You can't, but you can have church, but you can't build any. And they said, well, can we meet anywhere we want to? And he said, sure, you just can't build any buildings. And that was probably the worst mistake he ever made. Because they started meeting, and boy, did they meet. They met everywhere, and I'm talking about Baptist churches here. 222 churches in 1990 to 5,670 Baptist churches in 2002, from 13,000 members to over 200,000 members. Incredible mustard seed growth all over the world. And the church is changing. The church is changing rapidly all over the world. It's become a third world religion. It's less white, less affluent, less educated, and less Western. And what's the number one language in Christendom today? Is Spanish. The number one language. And the center has shifted. It's shifted from Western, European, North American, and has shifted from west to east, moving across Africa, India, and China. And it's changing the face of Christianity. And it's happening in our lifetime. Incredible. Shift from north of the equator to out the south of the equator. And the church is going to grow. And it's growing worldwide at phenomenal rates. Just incredibly. But that's the good news. The bad news, it's growing everywhere. As Paul Harvey would say, now we'll get to the rest of the story. But it's growing everywhere except North America. The unchurched population of America is growing at a staggering rate, according to George Barna Research. This kills me right here. The USA is the third largest mission field in the world behind China and Indonesia. Does that impact you in any kind of way? The USA is the third largest mission field in the world behind China and Indonesia. Nationwide, three churches per day are being started. Three starting, 10 closing. We have to look at a big picture. And I didn't come here to talk about any of our particular Bible churches or any particular church in this town or anything else. I'm talking about a burden for America. We touched on it a little bit this morning. And we touched a little bit on judgment of the churches in Revelation. And so, I could talk more about the Union Baptist Association, where I got tons of statistics about, he said that they're down to 1.25 churches per year, but it doesn't include the number going out of business, not the net gain. We have a problem here that we're not talking about. It's the nature of the kingdom of God to grow, and something is wrong. something's wrong. And it's not being talked about. It's not comfortable to talk about it. And we need to wake up. It's easy not to talk about it. I wonder sometime if they found it easy not to talk about it in England, where you can go now and see these huge, empty, dead churches. It just impacts me to think about that. It's a very simple illustration, but very relative, of the frog in the boiling water. It's a burden that we have today. Our society, we can talk about laws and rights and morals all we want to, but it's just another political debate if we're not putting the gospel forth. And I want to read something. I want to compare an unbelieving generation to a complacent generation of Christians today. And I just want to read this and see if this impacts you like it did me. You will keep on hearing but will not understand. You will keep on seeing but not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart in return, and I would heal them. Matthew 13:14-15. And that's the burden that I come with today. That's the burden that I share with you today. And that what I would ask for is for prayer. For Christians to begin to look honestly at what's going on in American Christianity today. And to start honestly looking at home, right where we are. It's like you start right here and you start looking here, and let Jesus, it's like you let Jesus grade the test, though, not us. And think about that for a while and see where we are. A lot of people look at the mega churches that are here today. Do you know Texas has more mega churches than anybody but California? And I'm sure we're doing all we can to catch up with them, you know, us Texans. But you can't just look at that. You have to add up all the numbers together and stop looking at this individual church or that one and get the picture of the whole church in America. And so, it's the nature of the kingdom of God to grow. The implication is that if it's not growing, that something's wrong. Now, what's all this saying to us here in America? I think that it's saying that we can't get comfortable in Zion. That we have to address this problem. And we can't stay comfortable. The primary reason that we're here is to share the gospel with those that don't know Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. I saw this on a billboard. I like it. Man's way, a hopeless end. God's way, an endless hope. So many people out there. I'm so tired this morning, but it's a good tired. I got to be in 6 chapels yesterday. And there was tons of American children that had never heard the gospel. They just, it's been blinded. They've been blinded. And you know what was so easy about yesterday? I mean, the spiritual warfare was tough, and I'm tired this morning from all day gospel presentations. But all we had to do was get the gospel out of our mouth. And all that happened. God blessed that day, and all those kids came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. simple, so simple to just get the gospel out of our mouths. We're here to push back the darkness in our communities and cities in our world. To push it back. That assault that Jesus talked about, I believe that the gates of hell will not prevail. Jerusalem first, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. Rick Warren said one thing well in his purpose-driven life. He said, it's not about you. It's not about us here in the church today. It's about the gospel. Those of us here to reach the ones that are not here. That's what it's about. And so, the gospel's not being preached. It's not the focus anymore outside of the walls of the church as a whole. Okay? But you guys say, man, this guy's depressing. This is good to talk about. Because you know why? We've got all that we need to attack this situation. We don't have to sit around and put up with this. We've got all that we need to handle this situation. We need to reach out beyond our walls with the gospel. And the reason that you're seeing the third world growth that you're seeing is because they are out there sharing the gospel on a daily basis. It is that simple. It is that simple. Just a quick thought. I've got a few minutes here. I'm sure you've heard the statistics that America is becoming the majority, might soon be Hispanic, right? Over 50%. Soon, in a few years. And wouldn't you think that logically thinking that if we're going to have America that's going to have the majority of Hispanic, that if we want to have a Christian nation, we better be busy evangelizing. Amen? The parable is clear, and the implications are troubling. You know, to make disciples, they have to be saved. And then I'd like to close with the parable of the leaven. You know, the leaven parable, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour until it was all leavened. It's really a parable about permeation and about transformation. Permeation and transformation. The gospel in your life. You know, the gospel is not just something that we learn at some point some method for it, or we heard, we got saved, and we learn how to say it some kind of a way, and we put the gospel is to be lived out. The gospel is to be lived out. That's the power of the gospel. We're supposed to be influencing the culture. The culture's not supposed to be influencing us. Now, how... I hear all the time, well, we can't go out and witness like that anymore. The culture won't allow it. Well, who says that we're going to let the culture dictate what we do? We're supposed to be leaven. We're supposed to be influencing them. We're not supposed to be letting them influence us. I had a personal situation that happened just recently. Joseph Kavuli, he is the director over East and Central Africa, all those Somalia, Sudan, all those countries. He's from Kenya. He's a Kenyan. And he stayed at our house. He's become a real good friend of mine. And so I took him to one of our men's Bible studies one morning about 6:30. And they were going over this book, this modern day book, I'm not going to name it, in the Bible study, and talking about all this culture, all these culture things and all that, and they were you know, talking culture this, culture that, and I won't repeat some of the things that they said, but when we got back in the car, Joseph honestly asked me, Benny, why are you talking about those kinds of things in a Bible study?